The CFRN E-Mini Futures Cast is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android phones, BlackBerry, and WebOS phones. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
Are you ready, Steve? Andy?
Yeah!
Bert? Well, all right, fellas. Let's go!
You're listening to CFRN, the Christian Financial Radio Network.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download at www.audibletrial.com/CFRN. Over 85,000 titles. Choose from mystery, romance, religion, science, technology, business, New York Times bestsellers, even children's books. You name it, Audible has it. With 85,000 titles to choose from, you're sure to find the perfect audiobook for yourself or to give as a gift, and it's absolutely free. Just point your browser to audibletrial.com/CFRN. That's audibletrial.com/CFRN. And become a part of the audiobook revolution by downloading your free audiobook today. audibletrial.com/CFRN.
Hey, trader, want to get rich quick? Well, good luck with that. If, on the other hand, you actually want to learn how to trade, the place to be is www.cfrn.net. Tune in Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern, for our daily devotional, and then spend the next 3 hours learning how it's done from professional traders who actually trade for a living. That's www.cfrn.net. Every trading day from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern, CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living.
Good afternoon, traders, and welcome back to the CFRN E-Mini Futures Cast. This is the daily broadcast of indeterminate length where we discuss all things E-Mini along with some really big ideas on the finer points of trading gold, bonds, crude, sugar, the euro, and even T-bills. Joining us today from our studios in Boston, Mr. Michael Bork. From our trading desk in Chicago, Mr. Burton Schlichter. And from our studios in Las Vegas, Nevada, Mr. David Williams. Now, to get things started, let's go to our host and founder in Studio A, overlooking South Mountain, America's largest city park. Here's Dwayne.
Good afternoon. Welcome back. Today is Thursday, 14th day of March, 2013. The Dow is up 59 points, the S&P is up 6, the comp is up 9, crude is up 38 cents a barrel, and gold I do not have a read on at the moment. It'll pass by on my screen here momentarily. Welcome back. Yesterday we got a new pope. If you were tuned in at the end of the radio show, we actually broadcast the event. It wasn't until it was almost over that I remembered to kick in the sound portion, but we had video. We had streaming video of the entire event, from the smoke out of the chimney to everything. And it was nice. It really was. So, and you know, that happened quick. We talked about this yesterday, and the cardinal that won, he was not even, When I read that short list yesterday, the people at Paddy Power, they were making bets on, taking odds. The cardinal that was elected, Jorge Mario Bergoglio of Argentina, I don't think he was even on that short list of favorites. And they had talked about how it might drag on for, you know, weeks potentially. But the answer came quick. So, anyway. Oh, which is a perfect segue for me to lead into this portion of our programming. We had, you know, It has been said that we don't say Jesus on this radio program. I know. It's a complaint. Now, 22 hours a day, 5 days a week, they're some of the finest preachers and teachers that you can find on this planet, or that I've been able to find anyway, because they were all hand-selected by me to be on this radio station. They preach and teach their hearts out 22 hours a day, 5 days a week. And then on Saturday and Sunday, we let them go for 24 hours a day, right? We only steal 2 hours a day to talk about the markets. And this portion of our daily programming is not about putting on live trades. We do that every morning in the live trading room. In fact, in the month of February, we put on exactly 112 trades in the month of February, live in real time for everybody to see there. See, someone had stumbled into the radio program and somehow thought that, well, they were supposed to see live trades here and hear about Jesus. Now, you might hear about Jesus, that's very possible, and you might even see a live trade from time to time. But unto all things, there is a season, right? And the season for live trades is every morning from 9:30 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. in the live trading room. The teaching and the preaching, 22 hours a day. We do break for 30 minutes after the live trading room, and then we come back, do 2 hours of radio, talk about the markets. Okay? So that, and so my whole point in bringing this up is not to, you know, out this one guy that, you know, really got, and he really did get sideways with the whole issue. How dare you? Okay, excuse me. But in all areas of life, we ourselves, me, you, we can get sideways with people and with things because we don't fully grasp the bigger picture, or we only have one little slice, or we somehow get it in our head how it's supposed to be. And then when it doesn't meet our expectations, we become that guy, right? And it really makes us angry as we walk out of the store in a huff and the employees are kind of like huddled together giggling at us. How dare they? Well, they probably know a little more about the big picture regarding this issue, whatever it might be, than we do. So, but we're not giggling to anybody. We're just very sorry that you didn't find what you were looking for. Unfortunately, I got a feeling you get that a lot. Okay, not just here at this radio station, but wherever you go and whatever you do, I'm going to think that maybe you get that a lot. Okay, so I encourage everyone, open your mind, open your heart, go with the flow. You know, if you're in a situation you don't like, walk or fix it, change it if you can. Otherwise, you know, let it go. All right, I got no headlines. You're probably happy about that. We had a tweet that just ground away, finally took off. For those of you that hung around at the end of the radio program yesterday, we put on a soybean tweet live in real time. It ran beautifully within about 5 minutes for 2.5 cents, which is the same as 2.5 points on the S&P 500. And I brought the chart out and I showed everyone my thinking, how I put it together, how I came up with the trade, the idea behind it, everything. We talked about it out loud. Is it still on this chart? Yeah. It's right here. If you were around, we said this was either going to be the beginning of a flag pattern or we'd get a break to the upside. So we picked some numbers that would let us know what was going to happen next. Okay. Turns out we were right in both directions. It gave 2.5 cents when it broke to the upside. Then it turned around, broke to the downside, took out this little trend line, and goodness gracious, if you hung with it, and look right here, what'd it do? Important prices are almost always what? Mm-hmm, tested. See, remember right here? This was our break to the upside to get long, gave us that 2.5 pennies in beans. And then once we broke the trend line to the downside, what'd we do? We ran right back up, and we tested that very price. Look at that. Boom. I don't even know how far that thing dropped. from like 1450 down to 1435. No, I guess it's not that big a deal, but it's some walking around money. Okay, back to the S&P. This is an hourly chart. If you're joining us for the first time, welcome. We're sure glad to have you with us. Hate for you to come on your very first day and hear me grinding away about some guy, but, you know, sometimes you just got to grind away. I got a video I really want to show you. I don't know if it's going to play properly. I'll let Michael do the recap. Howard, who won the iPad Mini, he finally got around to sending me a video this morning, and it's great, and I'm going to play it for you, but I want you to be able to see the audio and the video. So while Michael is doing the recap of the live trading room this morning, I'll be in the background making sure the video works, and that's about it. Michael, are you ready?
I am ready.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Today's Thursday, by the way, guys, partners meeting tonight. If you've been on the free trial, you want to be a partner, you should have an email in your inbox that tells you everything you need to do. But if you need us to tell you again what you need to do, send an email to support@cfrn.net, and we will be happy to let you know, right?
Indeed, we will be happy to let you know.
That's what we do.
Let me just finish updating my spreadsheet.
He's
right
updating.
Here.
Okay. So, all right, guys, let's look at this chart again.
I got it. I'm good. Okay. I can grab the charts.
There you go.
Just want to get everything all updated, so I am really ready. All right, here we go. There. All right, so you should all be looking at my charts, and you are. Excellent. Okay, I am going to slide these charts back where they normally go so I can get started the way I normally do. And bring up this. All right. All right, here we go. All right, good afternoon, everyone. Today is Thursday, the 14th day of March 2013. Today, let's see, we can go over our 2 points, our live trading room results, and all that stuff. We'll start right off with that. All right, it took us 21 minutes to make our 2 points this morning. We did it on a gold trade. A single gold trade made 15 ticks, and so the profit after the single gold trade was $150. Right, it was $150 a contract, excluding the commission. Our results on the morning were that one gold trade with plus 15 ticks. We had a couple of losing trades on crude oil and one winning trade on crude oil. So we were minus 11 total on crude, and we were plus 17 on natural gas. That was the total for the morning. Okay. So far in the live trading room for the month of March, we are plus $2,940 a contract. And that is in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 trading days. 10 trading days, we are plus $2,940 a contract. I think I went through something last night, and on the year so far, I think we're up over $14,000 per contract. I'd have to go and take a look at it, but that is where it stands on the year. Okay, let me bring over the spreadsheet just so you can see it. I don't know how many trades we took today. I'm going to count them in just a few minutes here when we go through the actual charts. But we're up 29.40. Okay, and not counting today, we had 78 trades to get there. So I think today we probably had about 6 or 7 trades. All right. If you have not taken a free trial with us, go to www.cfrn.net/apply, sign up for the free trial. In the free trial, you get 5 days in our live trading room, 5 business days in our live trading room. You get access to all the charts and indicators that you see here. Now you will be sent an email that's got a link in it to a video that shows you how to download everything. Shows you how to download the charting platform, Then you get an email with a password and an ID in it. Then you use that password and ID, you log in, you go into the indicator store, and you download the indicators. Then once you've done that, if you want your charts to look just like mine, send me an email at support@cfrn.net, and I will send you my layout with a video on how to upload the layout, okay? How to import the layout, and then your charts can look just like mine without you having to apply all the indicators and all that stuff, okay? You really should do that if you're taking the free trial. If you're going to take the free trial, then, you know, show up in the live trading room, learn how to use the stuff, learn the trade setups. It's worth your time, all right? That said, let's move on to the trades. Okay, there is a partners meeting tonight at 9 p.m. For everyone who is a partner, just a reminder, there's a partners meeting tonight for everyone who is not a partner, but you're on the free trial. You need to become a partner to get into that meeting. It is 9 p.m. and it's an opportunity for you to really get down to the nuts and bolts of everything that we do, all right? I try to do it as much as I can in the live trading room, but, you know, these partners meetings, they can last over 3 hours long. We try to answer every single question that people have, all right? All right. Now, we started out on crude oil. We had a rough start on the crude, okay? We actually didn't do well on crude at all today, as a matter of fact. We had a trade right here. Our first trade was a pullback up test to the BBC with a down close. We got into the trade over here on the down close, and it stopped us out from minus 8 ticks. The next trade was right up here. We missed this one, and then the next one was right up here. We did take this one, and that stopped us out. The one right after that would have given back about 4 or 5 ticks. We missed the one after that. Actually, that wouldn't have given back 4 or 5 ticks. If the entry was right up here on the up close, that would have stopped you out as well. But we missed that one. We did take this one over here, and we got 5 ticks profit on that. That's what put us at minus 11. So this was minus 8. This was minus 8, put us at minus 16. And this gave back 5 and put us at minus 11. All right, we missed the trade right here. There was an opportunity to get the trade right here, get probably 8 ticks of that back, get us back to minus 3. And right here, there was an opportunity to get into the profit, what we missed that too. We did get short over here, and we moved our stop to break even once we closed down below the MA1. That ended up coming back up and stopping us out of break even, and that was the last trade we took on crude oil. You know, you can see it swung back and forth quite a bit in here, and we didn't have any opportunities until right over here after the live trading room had ended. Right in there was an opportunity to get long and take some more profit, possibly. Okay? That was the crude oil. Now, how many trades did we take there? 3, 4, 5. 5 trades on crude. No, 1, 2, 3, 4 trades on crude. Because I don't have a count on the total number of trades that I took today. The Russell was just a mess all morning. We were looking for it to do this, close up above this trend line for an hour, and it never did it. We were looking for it to close up above this one for an hour, and it never did that. So we didn't have any opportunities on the Russell this morning. Okay? Gold. Let's see. In gold, I had told folks yesterday that gold should be active based on the news events that were coming out. I had said we should see some pretty good pre-market activity, and there was some pretty good pre-market activity. Not so much from the news events. This was when the news came out right here at 8:30. Now it was the employment news was just a little better than expected, and the rest of it was pretty much flat. Okay, we didn't do anything in there. We waited and waited and waited, and then finally it started to trend again over here. You see how we got a higher swing right there above this one. It got the bullish cross, tested the BBC with an up close with bullish divergence. We got in long there, and we took profit up here. That was 15 ticks profit. That was our only trade on gold today. So that's, what, 5 trades now? That's not to say that there were not more opportunities in gold, because there were. But, you know, there was another one right in here. Let's see, was there one in short over here? No. No, there was a long opportunity right here. Again, this is still pre-market, but let's just get over here to where the market actually opened up. Once the market opened up, there was a shorting opportunity right here. Then the thing turned around and just took off, like between 9:33 right here and 9:34 way over here. the market just ran, and it was, you couldn't have traded in there if you wanted to. That's why I'm not marking anything up in there, win or loss. There was an opportunity over here. I did point this one out. It did drop down about, you know, 6 or 8, maybe 10 ticks. I think actually one of the guys, one of the Andrews in the live trading room, got 10 ticks profit out of that one, I think. And Andrew, I'm sure you'll correct me. Over here we had a bullish cross, tested the BBC with the up close. If you got long on this one, it did stop you out, okay? If you got long up here. You didn't need to get long up there, though. You could have gotten long right here, in which case your stop would have been a break-even. Okay? I didn't take any more trades on gold today. You know, this one would have stopped out. This one would have made it right back. In here, we were looking for an opportunity to break out of these boxes, and we didn't actually get an opportunity. It did break out, and it did move quickly when it did, which is what we're expecting, but there was no trading opportunity in there. Okay? This one over here, we did have a trading opportunity right there on that up close. It moved up nicely right there. And over here on the down close off the BBC, had a nice move down right there. Okay. There was a little opportunity right in here. You needed the down close below the trend line. It moved down to right here. If you had put that trade on, you would have stopped out at break even. As you can see, I did not put any more trades on here on the gold. Then right at the end of the morning session, it had a big run-up right here. During the run-up, there are two spots. There's one spot here where you could have entered in. Two spots where you could have entered in on that run-up. All right, let me just show you. Right there is one, and right over here is another one. So you could have gotten long on the up-close above the trend line right there, or the up-close above the trend line right there. All right. Then it changed directions, the cycle moved down. It didn't change direction, but the cycle changed direction. And you didn't have any opportunity. Okay? That was gold. So we had one trade on gold, so we're up to what? 5 trades so far, right? 5 trades, and I took 2 trades on natural gas. I didn't take any trades here on the ES. I didn't take any on soybeans today. Or I did take one on soybeans. All right, so we have 1 on soybeans. Did I take 2 on natural gas or 3 on natural gas? I think I just took 2. No, maybe I took 3. I took 3 on natural gas. All right, so I have 9 trades today. I'm sorry, I'm trying to keep track of the number of trades so I can put it in the book here. 9 trades. Okay, so we have 87 trades total on the month so far. We're up $2,940 per contract on 87 trades. All right, sorry about all that. On the soybeans, we had the bullish cross. And price attempted to come back down, test the BBC, and it didn't actually pull back far enough. It closed up above the trend line right there. I had put the trade on, and I looked away and did something else. I didn't see that it had run up here. And by the time I saw it, it was pulling back. I put my stop at break-even, and it took me out at break-even. That was my soybean trade. There is, or was, another one just a few minutes ago, right here on the down close off the BBC. We had the bearish cross, tested the BBC with a down close right there. Now, if this is your first time in here, then all this stuff is going to seem really foreign to you. But, you know, you see me jumping from market to market to market. The thing to take away from this is that I'm doing the same exact thing, that we're doing it on the same time frame, and we're using the same set of indicators across every single market. You know, I have these that show, these are basically the rules for getting in the trades, the trend lines when they come into play, when I use these trend lines that we draw. And this one right here. Okay, this is what this trade was. If you look over here, step one was the bearish cross of the MA1, which is this blue and red line, below the BBC, which is the green line. Step two is the space. Step three is a pullback and test of the BBC with a down close. And step four is the bearish divergence. All right, now this is a crude chart, you see? And this was a crude chart from January. But it's the same thing. It doesn't change. It's the same thing. Looking at the soybean chart, step one is the bearish cross, step two is the pull away, step three is the test of the BBC with a down close, and step four, you look down here, for bearish divergence with a red cycle. So the entry is right there on the down close. Okay? Right there on the down close is the entry. All right. let me minimize this, and I'll use this one here to show you the other setup.
Hi, guys. You can see
when there's so much momentum in the market that it doesn't pull all the way back to the BBC, if you have divergence, we had just a little bit of divergence down here, but if you have divergence, you just need to draw a trend line down the tops and look for confirmation by an up close on the other side of that trend line that the trend is going to continue. And in this case, you can see that it did. Okay? That is the other setup. Now, I think we'll see it all again over here on natural gas. Natural gas inventories came out today. Let me just cover the natural gas inventories, okay? Right in here, natural gas inventories came out at 10:30. You can see all these bars were 1 minute, okay? All those bars were in 1 minute. When it slowed down a little bit, you see we let it slow down for a couple of minutes. Price came up, it tested the BBC, gave a down close, but the cycle was blue, so you need a close below the trend line. We shorted the close below the trend line. We took 3 ticks profit on that one. We waited. It came back up and tested the BBC again. This time the cycle was red. It gave the down close. We don't need the trend line because it tested the BBC and the cycle was red. So we shorted on the down close and it dropped right in there. Okay. We had a bullish cross over here. Now the same thing happened over here. It tested the BBC and gave an up close, but you see the cycle is red right here. It needed to be blue to be able to get long right here. Otherwise you got to wait until you close above the trend line. We closed above the trend line there, and I took some more profit there. I think I took, I don't remember what I took. 4 ticks profit, I think I took on that one. There was one more up here, and that's the last thing that we did on the natural gas. It was actually just another one right over here. So you have to draw the trend line down the tops. You have bullish divergence, so the up close right here would have been the spot. All right. That was natural gas. We didn't take trades anywhere else today. I'm not going to look at that right now. I'm going to do that in the partners meeting. The ES, we almost had a trade on the ES, but the black line got up above the BBC, so we didn't actually get a trade in there. And there were opportunities here on the NQ, but I was just not trading the NQ this morning. Okay? All right. Wow. It's the bottom of the hour. How long has it been since I've done that? All right, if you guys have not taken the free trial, go to www.cfrn.net/apply and sign up for the free trial. If you have taken the free trial, then you should have something in your inbox to tell you what it takes to become a partner. All right. If you don't have it in your inbox, if you can't find it and you want it, send us a quick email at support@cfrn.net and just put partner info in the subject line. And I'll send that off to you as soon as I can. All right. So with that, I am going to wrap up the recording and we can head out to Vegas. All right. Recording is stopped. Let's see. Now over here on the NQ, that's the up close. Bullish divergence. Vegas and New York City, Robin said. Because she is in New York, apparently, right now. And, let's see. All right. Dwayne? Are you there? Over here on the natural gas, this up close was right there. It's pulling back to the BBC again. Now your entry would have been right here at 97. And it went up to 803 from 97 for a 6 tick gain. But right now, it's pulling back down to test the BBC, and it has bullish divergence. Okay? So an up close right here. It just tested the BBC, so an up close on this bar. You don't even need the trend line here because the cycle is still blue and because it did test the BBC. You just need the up close to get long. That's on natural gas. For those of you who don't know, natural gas is $10 a tick per contract, just like the Russell is, just like crude oil is and gold is. All right. On the NQ, this right here, I just said the up close above that trend line was the move up. Over here on gold at the moment, this is the trend line. This is the bearish divergence. So you would need this bar to close up Well, let's see, what's the range? It's 89.4 down to 89. Doesn't matter where this bar closes. This is going to be the trend line. You need a down close below this trend line, or a test of the BBC with a down close and a red cycle. And that would be a trade there. The Russell's got nothing right now. Crude oil just moved a little bit. Guessing Dwayne must be on the phone or something, because he is not popping back in here.
You looking for me?
Yeah. Yeah, I stopped the recording a couple minutes ago.
I had no idea. I was just
I know.
Getting a little coffee.
For some reason it seemed like it went really fast
wandering
today.
Wandering around, looking out the window.
There's
a house across the street from me just went up for sale, and you would think there'd never been a house for sale before. I bet 50 people have come through with an agent since the sign's only been up like one day. And I was just looking out the window of my office, and there's a crowd of them over there. Granted, the house is selling for about a third of what it once sold for, so... Which, you know,
me
being the guy that lives across the street doesn't make me incredibly happy, but...
Yeah.
You know? But I think that is a good sign of where we are with the real estate market, in that, you know, a house went on the market, it's a nice house in a nice neighborhood with an HOA, and it's a third of what it once cost, and that's a bargain, you know? Mm-hmm. There's no other way to look at it. That is a bargain. Steal. So people are showing up, and they're going, hey, I'm going to get me some of that. So, and the housing turning around will, the ripple effect of that throughout the economy. People, I think, or hopefully, will be a little wiser this time around. Because, you know, when we were growing up, your home was a place where you created memories and found safety and security and hope and encouragement and so many other things. But then all of a sudden, your home became this investment, this ATM, this money machine. And, well, that didn't turn out too well. So this time around, maybe people will go back to realizing that their home, well, yes, you know, it should be a long-term investment, but it should be viewed as a place to raise your family, build memories and traditions and all that kind of thing. So, New Yorkers will be significantly fatter because of the soda ban repeal. A New York state judge has struck down Mayor Bloomberg's controversial ban on large sodas, arguing that the restrictions on sugary sweetened drinks did not make sense, partly because the ban wasn't evenly enforced. The measure approved by the New York City Board of Health last September banned the sale of sugary drinks larger than 16 ounces at New York City restaurants, street vendors, delis, and movie theaters. The crackdown controversially, did not apply to grocery stores or convenience stores. They should have known that wasn't going to fly. The opposition also took issue with other arbitrary components of the legislation. Why, for example, were high-sugar, high-caloric drinks like milkshakes and alcoholic beverages allowed, while sugary sweetened drinks like soda and lemonade were not? The judge also questioned the science behind the soda ban, which was crafted to curb obesity and obesity-related diseases like diabetes and heart disease. So, yeah, we knew this was going to be... And what's interesting is the health department, they actually made some special 17-ounce cups that they could go around the city and do these surprise inspection on these vendors. And they made the cup 17 ounces so that there was an ounce room for error, right? So when they went in to test, they would take the vendor's soda pop and pour it into their cup, and as long as it fit in their cup, they passed the inspection. The other thing that was interesting is if your restaurant or business had a health rating code of A or AA or however they do it, the chance of you getting inspected is like maybe once a year. But the further you went down the food chain, pun intended, like if you had a B rating or a C rating, and who even eats at those places? But anyway, You know, I eat from street vendors in third world countries, so I probably shouldn't say that. But if you had a B rating or even a C rating, you were more likely to be inspected 2, 3, 4, 5 times a year. But now the whole thing's been struck down because it's just, I mean, I agree that people shouldn't drink, you know, these big gallon jugs of soda pop. I agree 100%. But to tell the way this was handled and the way it was not done, you know, fairly across the board, is just obviously not no good. No can fly. This dog won't hunt. All right. So you still there?
I am. I am still here.
Right. Felt kind of alone out here on the stage.
Sorry about that. I right. just CC'd you on a response to something, I think. Anyway.
You CC'd me. I don't see it.
Here it goes.
All right, guys. We're going to show a video, and then you're going to make an announcement, and then we're going to go to Vegas. Or do you want me to read your CC?
No, you can go to Vegas. That's
oh, you CC'd me on that. Good.
With Vegas.
Okay, great. Yeah, I mean, I want an answer, right? Yeah. Okay, good. Let's talk to somebody. Let's figure this out. Okay. How do I do this? Okay, I got to switch my charts over there. You've got the charts, so I'm going to take the charts.
Yeah.
I'm going to send them over to that computer.
Though I do want to note that we just had a couple of nice trades right there that I pointed out in the live trading room. Not in the live trading room, in the actual recap. The up close on the NASDAQ moved up. The up close on...
You want the chart back?
On the natural gas moved up. We never got the trade on crude oil, and actually I had the Russell covered up, so you didn't get to see the Russell, but the down close on the Russell worked well.
Do you want the
chart
back? And
actually a down close on the current bar on a Russell would also be a short.
Do you want the chart back?
No. That's okay. It's all right.
Could you not? You couldn't hear me, huh?
I couldn't. I think I
so
talked
odd.
Right away.
I don't.
Sorry.
I'm okay. No, I'm not even going to worry about it.
Don't even worry about it.
Not even going to worry about it. Okay, guys. As you know, we gave away an iPad 2 weeks ago or so. Yeah, 2 weeks, I think, to celebrate our 100th partner workshop, which we have every Thursday night, which Michael was just talking about. So we used a random number generator to cull out a portion of the database, and then we went in and we had a live drawing. And if you go to the website cfrn.net/iPad, you can see the lovely Blasilda from Daniel's Trading drawing the name out of the hat. Except it wasn't a hat, it was more like a vase. Now, the name she drew was Howard, and Howard got his iPad. Howard is a former Navy pilot, and he spent a lot of his life, great portion of his life, dedicated to ministry work in Africa. Today he is an active futures trader and a CFRN partner, and here's Howard with his new iPad.
That you sent has arrived and is in operation. I've got...
Let me start that over. We lost something somehow. Okay, start over.
Go.
Yeah, hi guys. You can see that the iPad Mini that you sent has arrived and is in operation. I've got Michael's famous video number 100 running. And thanks again. We'll make good use of it, even at 85 years old. Thanks.
Go.
Yeah, hey, guys, you can see that the iPad Mini.
There we go. Okay. I can't get to my sound files because they're behind the movie, so this would be the appropriate time to play the applause. But all right, point those trades out real quick that you were hot-to-trot about there.
I will do that. Here we go.
And then make your announcement.
All right, the trades that I was pointing out. This was the one right here that I showed in my recap. I showed the up close right here on the NQ. That is still moving up, though it's at a point right now where it should retrace. What you anticipate when you have a trade like that is that the green line is going to work its way up into the cycle. Once it gets up there, you anticipate it's going to retrace and give you another opportunity. That's what it's doing right here. All right. This is gold right here. I had drawn a trend line on the gold. Okay. I was waiting for that bar to close. The down close on the bar below that right there would have been a shorting opportunity. That gave five or six ticks. It then, because the green line was just about down into the cycle, it then pulled back up, tested the BBC, and it's going down again. So here you would just draw another trend line like that and look for a down close below that trend line would be your opportunity to short. Then you would look for the green line to get down into the cycle. All right. The other one that I had pointed out was over here on the natural gas. Again, it tested the BBC, gave an up close, and the green line got up to the cycle, and it pulled back again, giving you another opportunity, all right, possibly another opportunity. All right, those were the trades that I had pointed out, and I just wanted to show you how they all worked out. For those of you guys who have never been into the live trading room, this is just what it's like in the live trading room. I'll point the trades out for you. I'll tell you where you should be looking to get into the trade. Now, I'll say an up close on the current bar or a down close on the current bar or something like that. Whatever the case may be, I'll let you know. Like right over here right now on the NQ, here's our trend line. There's red on the cycle, so you need an up close above the trend line. Okay? Let me fix that trend line. You need an up close above the trend line. Over here on the Russell, there's blue on the cycle, so you need a down close below the trend line. Over here on the natural gas, the cycle is still blue, but on a close of this bar, that cycle is going to turn red. So, in this case, you're going to need an up close above this trend line. That's it. That's how to take the trades. Simple as that. All right. You can have them back if you're ready.
I'm ready, man.
Okay.
You hear me?
You want me to send them, or are you going to take them? You got them.
I got them. Okay. I thought you were going to make an announcement.
Oh, the announcement. I forgot. I was sorry about that. My bad. The announcement, yes. That iPad, the iPad mini that you just saw Howard with, we're going to give another one of those away to an active partner in the weekly partners meeting next Thursday night. You got to be an active partner. And what that means is if you're in the mentoring, if you're in the three-month mentoring program, you're an active partner, or if you decide to continue after the three-month mentoring program, you are also an active partner. So we're going to give another one of the, we're going to give another one of those out in honor of the new Pope next Thursday. It'll be the Pope's iPad.
Let's hear it now. Yesterday, oh yeah, to the fellow that had the complaint about the lack of religious content during our market broadcast, we actually broadcast live the announcement of the new Pope yesterday. We did. We had a live streaming webcam right in St. Peter's Square. It's true, I forgot to turn the sound on until it was almost over, but we got to see it, and it was really quite a deal. I mean, I'll always remember, just as we all remember where we were when Kennedy was shot, and we all remember where we were on the morning of 9/11, I suppose now I will always remember where I was when Pope French, is it Francesca? Is that, that's how he, that's the name he took. But I believe they said the name he took, official name, was Pope Francesca.
Oh, was it? Okay.
I think. So, anyway. All right, Francis the First, according to Andrew. Okay. All right, with that said, guys, I told you that come Christmas of this year, Christmas Eve, I want to be able to sit back, put my feet up on the table or up on the desk. My wife really doesn't let me put my feet on the table, but if I come in my office, I can put it on the desk. I put them to sit back in my chair, put my feet on the desk, and reflect over the year and marvel at the fact that we gave away 100 iPads or iPad minis. Now, I don't know how we're going to do that. All I know is the year is on track for great things. Partners are doing great. It's really awesome, you know. I'm just going to tell you, if you haven't taken the free trial, man, you really should. You owe it to yourself. you're struggling, having some issues, whatever it might be, it's a free trial. You don't need a credit card. You can just come. You can hang out. Watch us trade live. More importantly, you can download the platform. You can install the very indicators that Michael uses every day in the live trading room. You can get into the simulator. You can put on and take off trades live in real time. You really can know after 5 days if this is for you or not. Okay, but you got to actively participate. This is not a spectator sport. I mean, it could be. It can be. For some folks, it is, and that's okay if that's what you want. If you want to be an active trader, then you got to get busy. All right? So, again, free trial, 5 days, no credit card, the full Monty platform, charts, data, indicators. And unlike some rooms where they don't want to answer your questions or whatever, we actually do want to answer your questions. We invite your questions. And we'll actually try and teach you everything we can about how to make that trade during the week, okay? So that by the time your free trial is over, you actually have a pretty good idea. And you've hopefully been in the simulator and actually made some trades, okay? It's all there, state-of-the-art, top of the line. If you need help getting your chart set up or anything, any issues with your data, indicators, Bert and Leslie, man, they are the best. They're standing by, ready to help. Toll free, 866-928-3310. 866-928-3310. With that said, we're going to head out to Las Vegas, Nevada, to talk to our friend, Mr. David Williams, from PageTrader.com. And at the same time, we'll be connecting to New York City, or somewhere in the greater state of New York, to talk to the trading coach, Miss Robin Dane. Don't touch your radio dial. We'll be right back.
You're listening to CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living. To learn more about who we are, what we do, and how we do it, call toll-free 1-866-928-3310, and we'll send you out a no-obligation information kit absolutely free. 866-928-3310.
Good morning, Dwayne.
Hey, David. Good morning. Welcome to the show. And Robin, if you're there.
Thank you very much.
Good morning. And welcome.
Good morning from New York City. It's a great day in New York City today.
Hey, and you're...
Oh, are you in New York City?
I am in New York City. I'm overlooking the St. Patrick's Cathedral on the 18th floor of the hotel. And
nice.
I'm watching them do the scaffolding on the church that they're fixing.
Oh,
and
that's
are you
great.
Having are you having an oversized sugary drink?
No.
Okay, good.
No. We've been trying to take the sugar out of the diet, and I'm just recuperating from the red eye. And
yeah.
So, no, I don't want to have my coffee just yet.
Well, you know, the state judge struck down that city ordinance about the sugary drinks, because that thing was just so unfair.
Oh.
Even though I maybe.
Oh, did? They struck it down?
They did, because, you know, street vendors and restaurants could not have the big drink, but mm-hmm. a convenience store could. And so that alone right there is just, you know, yeah. So how long are you going to be in New York?
Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you just fine. Your volume is at a perfect level.
Oh, okay, good. I'm here till Saturday. I've got coaching this afternoon, and I've got coaching tomorrow in the city, and I'm seeing a new firm tomorrow, so we'll see how that goes, which I'm very excited. There's a bunch of day traders, intense day traders, so we'll see what that office looks like.
Well, that sounds good. Are we doing a Coach's Corner tomorrow?
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely. Yes, we are. It'll be 3 o'clock my time. And I put out there that the topic for tomorrow is how to begin your trading day. So what do you do when you first start your day?
Say it again.
Will be how to start your trading day, things to do when you start your trading day.
All right. Very good.
How to prepare and how to get, you know, get going for the day before you actually start trading.
Okay.
Things you can do.
All right. That sounds good. So, David, what's going on in your world today?
Well, I'm just watching the market, you know, markets, actually, more than one, and just staying busy, you know? just keeping an eye on the markets, and it is a nice day today in Las Vegas. You know, spring has – we're right around the corner for spring here, so it's very pretty here, probably very pretty up in your parts as well, Duane. And as New York as well. You probably are not quite as springy in New York yet.
I am freezing my butt off.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
I got off the plane. It was 31 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
I had to steal the blankets from the plane to bring them with me because I wasn't sure if I was going to be warm enough.
Aw.
It got up to 93 here yesterday. They call that unseasonably warm.
Yeah, that is really cooking for this time of year already.
It is.
Wow. Oh, I hope that doesn't mean that the summer is going to be a killer. But
summer is always a killer.
We're a little bit warmer than normal too. I think we're not overly warm, but I think we hit the 80, didn't we? I think we hit 80 sooner than typically.
Maybe. Yeah, we did hit 80, but. You know, it feels pretty normal to me so far. I'm sure it's going to be a very hot summer. And, you know, for people who have considered moving to Las Vegas, and it maybe some people are considering moving to Las Vegas for one reason or another, one of the things about Las Vegas that is good is that although we do have the extreme heat, we don't have extreme cold, and the other three, you know, seasons are really quite livable, quite comfortable. It's about probably an 8 to 10 week period in the middle of the summer where it's just straight up miserable. It's just hotter than Hades, you know.
Yep.
So if you can live through that and
well, you know, in the wintertime on the East Coast, they have to stay inside during the cold, and we stay in the air conditioning during the summertime. That's,
uh-huh.
I mean, it's, you know, same thing. And I think the best part, because I'm actually getting used to Vegas now. I'm actually decided the other day that that was my home, and it was nice to make that actual transition that I was no longer a tourist, and this was my home.
Well, how long have you been living out here? Because you've had
11 years.
Oh, I was going to say. So just in your 11th year, you decided, you know, I'm thinking this is where I live.
Yeah, it's funny because, you know, you don't accept your environment. It's, you know, it's when it's not yours, and you get the lay of the land. And but I do enjoy not having tons and tons of clothes. I enjoy that to no end, not having coats and sweaters and boots and gloves and hats and all the stuff that you need on the East Coast is really nice to not have that. It's nice to not have your home deteriorate from the cold and the ice and the snow. You know, so if you're a homeowner, it's just less wear and tear on the house.
Uh-huh.
So there are a lot of advantages. And people have definitely a driving phobia in Vegas. You know, if you have to go from Henderson to Summerlin, it's like, oh, my God, you mean I got to drive all the way across town?
Right.
And anything more than a five-minute drive is a long drive. And, you know, I remember in New Hampshire, it used to take me 20 minutes to get to the supermarket. You know, here, you know, 20 minutes get me all the way across town. So there's this perception, or people get very territorial to a very small space. And anything beyond that's a big deal.
Yeah, I haven't been past Maryland Parkway and Tropicana in about 4 years. So I know what you mean.
So it's a driving phobia. But
when I first moved here to Las Vegas, just to throw this in, it was 34 years ago or so. It was in 1979. Let's make sure.
Wow.
Let's see, 2013 minus 1979. I have been here a long time.
Wow.
I have to tell you that a lot of the streets that we all know and love were dirt back then. Many, many, many streets were dirt. All of Henderson didn't exist. There was all Henderson was dirt roads. I remember you would get off on Sunset, and Sunset was dirt. You had to drive on a dirt road on Sunset. Yeah. Unbelievable. a lot has changed, and you could go across town in 5 minutes. I mean, it was just a zip to go whatever the town was at that time, you could go and get across it. Now it's much more, you know, obviously much more traffic, much more people live here. Lots of people from California moved. Lots of people from California are moving to Texas. Texas is a very, very up-and-coming place. Lots of people are moving there, but California has a huge amount of people apparently leaving to go to live in a number of places in Texas, including Austin, Texas, which is the hot in thing right now. Everybody wants to be in Austin, Texas. And, you know, one of the things that we've talked about with California about their problems is that they have, they're sort of a microcosm. They have about 12% of the whole population of the United States in there. And they have run California into the ground like the government is as well. I mean, they've spent billions more than they take in. And on top of, and they're hopelessly bankrupt. There's no out for California. There's nothing they can do. There's no income. The only way they could get out of it is by a huge federal bailout, because they're something like $27 billion upside down. I mean, the numbers are beyond belief, and there's no taxation. There's nothing they could do to make that back. They're still not making it now. So to make that $27 billion. Anyway, my point is that on top of the fact that they're that damaged financially because they've done the same thing that our government's doing with money, which is spend more than they take in and on and on and on, now low rows and rows of people and companies are leaving California because of the high taxes, the high expense of you know, obtaining and all the regulation and so on. You get to the point where you just say you've had enough, and a lot of people from California have moved to Las Vegas and to Austin, Texas.
Yes.
So I don't want anything bad to happen to California. It's a magical, wonderful state that's bankrupt, but I'd love to see them change their ways and begin, you know, you have to start from somewhere. Begin fixing their problems, and that's not going to happen. So might as well not even hope for it.
And if you move to Austin, Texas, you can see Sandra Bullock because that's where she lives.
Oh, well, that would be great fun.
And she's very big on, you know, hanging out in town. It's a very big college town, too.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, university-wise. So it's, everybody likes Texas. It's true.
They're real big right now, Johnny. They're real big right now, and we ran at some people the other day that were out here from either Austin or one of the other parts, and they just love it. There's a whole bohemian thing going on in Austin, Texas. I don't even know exactly what that means, but it's bohemian. It's a big deal. Anyway,
it's where they're having the South by Southwest, where they have it every year, and so many of the cool kids are attracted and want to live there now year-round because they've gone there for South by Southwest. That thing has stretched. It's in full swing right now, and it's a two-week event, and it is huge, and it's brought about a whole new counterculture to that town. So, big things in the works there.
What is South by Southwest?
South by Southwest began as a music festival, and then it became like a independent music and movie festival, and then technology got involved, and now it's really more about technology than anything else. And people launch their apps there, and all the big companies go to set up food wagons, and they sponsor happy hours and bars, and they put on musical concerts, and it's sort of like a Mardi Gras kind of an atmosphere, and it runs nonstop for 2 weeks. And again, the arts, entertainment, was the initial focus, but now it has actually become more about technology. And so I will Google up. They have a website, and so it's SXSW. That's how they do it, South by Southwest. Here we go.
Cool.
South by Southwest, SXSW. You got your music, you got your interactive, you got your film. Here's a schedule overview for the week. Let's see what they got going on today. Platinum Gold Film and Interactive Registration, Barbecue Crash Course, Taco Meetup, Film Sessions, Interactive and Gaming Sessions, Gaming Expo, Film Festival, Interactive Opening Party, Film Open. And that's just tomorrow. I mean, this thing goes on day after
That's awesome.
Day,
I had no idea.
It's huge.
That's fabulous.
I really would love
to get out there.
Yeah, I'd love to go somewhere. Austin, Texas.
Yeah.
Good deal. South by Southwest.
Well, that's beautiful. And Texas has some very Texas is a state that's managing its own finances very well. So you could say, well, you know, it's just everything went down and everybody's struggling. But Texas isn't. Texas is managing their money well. And there's a way to manage, you know, the finances. A government can manage its finances well. We can certainly do the same thing that Texas is doing. The state of California could do it. The United States of America could do it. But, you know, it depends on who's in office and what their priorities are. So, as we all know.
And Prince of all
people. So we only need like 4 points to hit our high, the all-time high?
That's correct.
Today, S&P?
Yep. We're about 4.67 last time I looked, so it's probably about 5 now. Yep, no, probably right about the same. Somewhere between 4 and 5 points to hit the all-time high in the S&P 500 cash market. And the Dow is...
You talking about in the cash there, Dwayne, or which market are you referring to?
Yeah, the cash market.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Because the futures is quite a bit distant.
Oh, yeah, I'm not talking about the futures. It's 3.8. The S&P 500 cash, we're 3.8 points right now, this moment in time, away from the all-time peak. Hmm. And the Dow is about to do something that it rarely has ever done, and that is, if it closes positive today, that will make 10 positive closes in a row. And if that doesn't define a bull market, I don't know what does.
Yep.
Whether you like it or agree with it or not, doesn't
matter. It is what it is.
It is what it is, and 10 positive closes in a row in the Dow. I don't know how many times in history that's happened, but it hasn't happened.
Oh, it has happened. If you're talking about on a daily basis, it has happened in the past.
Yes, it has. I just don't know how many times.
Yeah, it doesn't happen very often. It doesn't happen. The runaway market does not happen very often. So no question about that. Yeah, we have, if you want, we can get right into markets a little bit here anyway, just with regard to the S&P. We're very, you know, very quiet, very compressed. Nothing has changed in our outlook. We talked a couple days back about that we felt that the June contract would certainly go up and test the 53 to 55 level, and they've done that today. 57 short-term intraday stuff on our messenger window has 57 as the next target, and we've just came within a tick of that. So they're grinding their way higher. I don't like the idea of people shorting this market other than intraday for entry and exit intraday if you have the signal for it. Longer-term holds I think are foolish. Nobody needs me or anybody else to tell them this is a runaway market now. Maybe a few weeks ago, that would have been, that is true. But now it's obvious to the cab drivers. Everybody knows it's a runaway market. And I just don't think it would be wise to, the torment of the immature part of a trader is that I don't want to have them decline without me being in it when the big decline happens. And so the torment is, well, I better start putting positions on because I just can't live with myself if I miss that turn.
Yeah.
And that, you know, in order to get that, you're going to pay an awful lot of money in repeated entries, or you're just going to hold on to losing positions until the market finally turns. And that is not a trading strategy. The idea, I just can't live with the idea that when it finally turns, if I'm not in, I just can't live with that. That's not a trading strategy. Sometimes you, even professionals haven't thought that through, and you say to them that, but that's not a trading strategy. That's just a bad idea. And, everything wants to live. Everything tries to, a weed tries to live, everything tries to grasp hold and stay alive. And that's true for bad ideas as well, when they're in your head. They try to stay alive. They try to grab a hold and stay alive. And what they're doing to stay alive, their water, their hose, is your attention. And after a while, you will start giving attention to a bad idea once it's hypnotized you a little bit. And before you know it, it gets to a point where you've seen movies where people are possessed, where you see, what's the movie? What's the famous possession movie with Linda Blair and all that? Forgot the title of it.
Exorcist,
yeah. Starring Jack LaLanne. No, because he was into exercise. That's a form of possession, what we see. But there's another form of possession, which I think is even more important, not the external type, but the kind where a bad idea takes root in your mind and begins to live off of your unconscious attention to it. And that's what you see when you see these people, I believe, the hoarders, people who are living in a home with the, clothes stacked up to the ceiling, and they can't even get into a room, or they're climbing over them and their head's banging into the ceiling and they don't have a bed to sleep on anymore. You've seen all that. That's an idea that has possessed a human being. The idea that they have to gather this stuff and hold on to it and keep it and so on and so on. It's just an idea, but it wants to live just like a plant wants to live, just like a tree, just like anything else. It wants to live. And so bad ideas are like that as ideas, just bad or good. They want to live. They try to grab hold, and they do so. And when they get a hold of you, after a while, you don't realize that you're giving those bad ideas fuel, which is unconscious attention. You're not aware of the fact that you're paying deference to the idea. You've gotten into the habit of doing it so much, and then later, the part of the possession is that the idea is now speaking through you. It's actually got you so hypnotized that it opens your mouth and speaks words. And you think you're doing it, but you're possessed. You literally are possessed. You're possessed by an idea that you fed till it got so big that you identify yourself with that idea and it starts speaking, you're one and the same. It's a form of possession. And that's what happens to these hoarders. That's what happens to people who eat, dryer sheets. Well, I'm down to just 6 dryer sheets a day, so I guess I'm doing better.
And I saw that the other day. That was so bizarre. I'd never heard of that one before.
Well,
I never did either.
You don't have to worry, I guess, what the thing is. Anything will do. It just goes to show that any idea can take hold in a person. And any idea can possess them. And they can even be conscious and say, well, I know it's doing this, I know it's happening, but I can't help it. And that's true. They feel, though, they can't help it because the idea has taken so much of their attention and unconscious servitude towards that idea. They haven't seen that mechanism go into place. They don't know where to look for it. They don't know where to find that mechanism. So they're being very honest when they say, I know I'm doing it, I know it isn't right, but I don't know why I do it. And even in the Bible, Paul makes a comment that he does things that he doesn't know why he does. He was probably referring to things that he felt that he shouldn't be doing and so on.
Yeah, he said the things I want to do, I don't do, and the things I don't want to do, I end up doing.
Right. And so this idea that I'm presenting is that ideas can possess you. And I think everybody can identify that with in some way, shape, or form. But this, again, is why it's good to spend some time during the day and just in daily life keeping an eye on what's forming inside of you and what is trying to take hold and what has already taken hold and so on as best as you can to loosen the grip. Because ultimately, any little thing that floats in can just hook onto you like an alien, and your attention starts feeding it, and before you know it, a loop gets formed, and at some point, that idea literally possesses you. And you end up hoarding, you end up eating dryer sheets, you end up, you know, whatever it is, it doesn't matter how weird or wacky it is, don't look for the meaning in what they're doing. The meaning all happens internally. The meaning is that they've given over a part of themselves to an idea, and that idea is living off of them and directing them. So I remember seeing a program once, something really unusual that you wouldn't have known.
Power of the...
What's that? Did you say?
The power of the mind.
The power of...
The power of the mind.
Yeah, the power of the mind.
The mind.
In this program, they showed that there was some kind of wasp that... This was really a bizarre thing. Some kind of a wasp that could... In nature, it's a natural thing, flying around a wasp in some, you know, forest somewhere. This particular wasp can sting a particular kind of spider, and the chemical that is injected into the spider instructs the spider, believe it or not, to go make a cocoon for the wasp. So this is a thing that they had never seen before in nature, where there's a chemical that's causing actual actions to take place, productive actions. It's like that wasp has a chemical that instructs this particular spider to go do a task for it. And they had not seen that before. And that's another form of chemical possession, isn't it? So the spider goes out and it makes this cocoon, and then the spider dies, and the spider is food now for the wasp and its offspring. So, you know, we see possession, you hear about possession in the religious sense and all that, but possession is happening all the time on many, many different kinds of levels, physical, mental, and so on. And the hoarder thing and the, you know, eating dryer sheets and bad ideas taking you over and I can't, you know, I just so can't stand the idea that I might not be in this thing when it finally turns, that I'm willing to spend $50,000 trying and lose $50,000, whatever the number is, right? I mean, whatever it is, some big amount of money, trading foolishly to get into a position so that I can say to myself, I was in from the top. That is not a trading strategy. That's a bad idea that has possessed you. And you need to be, what's the word in the religious sense when you get freed from that? What's the, you know, when the priest comes in and he unpossesses you from the devil? What is that?
I forgot. Exorcism.
Exorcism. You need an exorcism from the bad ideas that you have unconsciously given life to, because they will float right on by as long as you don't give them undue attention and let them hook up. And at some point, they hook up so hard that they actually possess you. And that's why you see so many strange things in life, including the small things like eating dryer sheets and the big things like, you know, countries, you know, warring or whatever, you know, all of that.
I'm in shock of the dryer sheets, I got to tell you. Mm-hmm. I have never heard that. Oh, well, I just can't. It's amazing. Well, but, you know, anything is possible. Mm-hmm. You know, again, your mind is a powerful, very powerful utensil to use, and you can use it for bad things. You can use it for good things.
Well, it can be used. It can be used against you.
It can
be used against you by ideas that you unconsciously nourish. And that's
I have a very hard time watching those shows with the hoarders. It really bothers me. Because you can see the torment on the person's face when they go to empty these houses and the pain that they're in, and yet it's such a delusion of the reality of what's happening. And, you know, and having kids in some of those houses, it's terrible, terrible, terrible.
Hmm. Well, it's a great example of ideas taking people over and what, you know, like you say, the mind is a machine and it can be abused, but you don't have to be the abuser to yourself. You can actually, there are ideas that you somehow end up feeding and they want to live too. They want to live just like the weeds want to live. they're looking for a place to settle down and flower. And you'd like to have good ideas in your life settling down and flowering, and you'd like to have the least number of the negative and the bad flowering in you. And that's why another biblical, you know, connection is that, you know, the same fire that burns your neighbor's house down burns yours down. You know, that's not an exact quote, but the fact is that, you know, love thy neighbor is there for more than just the sugary sweet side of it. It's that if you hate your neighbor, that hatred isn't in your neighbor, it's in you, and it's hurting you. It's not just to be nice to other people. If there's a deeper side to it, which is that that's hurting you. That's bad for you. It's not just about being nice to other people. Any idiot can be nice to other people and have bad motives. It doesn't, you know, being nice is one of the thinnest veils of, you know, whatever you want to call it, in social norms. But one of the reasons that's in there, I believe, is because that's bad for you. It hurts you to hate that other person because that hate is in you. It's not in the other person. It's right there in front of you, and that's causing you to be angry and to associate with the bad idea further and so on. And then finally you're burning up in hatred and, you know, on and on and on. So anyway, the bottom line of all this is that it's a really good idea to keep an eye on yourself and what's going through you so that you don't get hooked on, or if you already are, which most of us are, already hooked on certain ideas that have taken root and so on, that you at least get a chance to see them operate, which helps loosen their hold until finally you'll find out at some point that when you get over one of these ideas, by finally knowing that you're done with it because you've seen it and in operation, you've caught it and it's fallen away, the sense of freedom of that and the wide open space in front of you because of that, because you're not being dictated to, you would, you know, there's nothing better feeling than that, because you now have part of your life back, because this thing took that part of your life and was using you. And it's not too much of a thing to say it's a form of possession. So anyway, the main point was that, you know, this market's going higher. Everybody wants to be short so they can be in at that time. That's not a trading strategy. That's just a bad idea at work in your mind that you need to get over, because what you're supposed to be trading is what you understand, where your high probabilities are. You know, it can't go any higher is not a trading strategy.
Nope.
So, you know, nope. It's, there it is.
Because it can.
Because it can. It's, and it will. And it will go higher. So, go ahead, Robin.
At some point, I don't mean to interrupt, but I don't want to forget. I have had a hard time to pull up Zynga, and I have no idea where it is, and it doesn't come up on my tape, so I can't see it. So at some point,
Scotch
whenever you
Duck
have a moment,
you got Scotch tape or Duck tape?
What is your, if you're asking me, what is the symbol? Dwayne, do you have it?
Z-N-G.
I'll bring it up. There we go.
You just said ZNG, and that was the whole thing?
No, ZNGA. I think she's having some connection problems there.
Okay.
In the hotel room.
Yeah, I didn't hear that.
ZNGA.
Well, there it is, in all of its glory.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take a quick look at this. I think we talked about this once before, did we not? Or
almost every day.
Almost every day, yeah. Now they're having a nice, they had a nice run up. You know, I don't have a lot to add to what's happened. I think, Dwayne, you talked about a moving average or something that it had run into, or some.
Well, this
was
is
it the longer
this
term?
This is a daily chart. It ran up and it hit the 200 period moving average. It's a relatively new company. Sold off from the 200, and then it attacked it again. And after 5 days, it managed to close on the north side. And then what we talked about the other day was this dark cloud cover here, candlestick pattern, and that would possibly send it back down to test this 200 period moving average. And so far it has, see, we had the dark cloud cover day, and then we had a little small day, and now we've got a day where Looks like, is it positive a little bit today? No, well, it says it's flat. There's 18.5 million shares traded, and it's flat. Let me update it. This is a delay, too. I think there's probably a 10-20 minute delay on this chart. So, Robin, are you back with us?
Mm-hmm.
Robin? I guess not.
I think she did go away.
She said it when it kicks her off, it takes her a while to get logged back in, so she'll pop back in.
Okay.
In fact, if she got...
Yeah, I don't have much... Oh, go ahead, Ben.
If she got disconnected and she when she logs back in, I'll need to unmute her mic again, so let me just see if she's in here. Nope, she's
I don't have
line.
Too much to add to this stock at this point either. There's longer term things that are going on, and it isn't. It's like a 3-year-old company, they had a very very powerful decline. This was an interesting stock because it opened way back in December of 2000. It looks to be like 2011, they had an initial decline and then a very powerful advance that let them go all the way up to almost $16. And from that point forward, they had a really pretty remarkable decline. If you're looking at it maybe on the weekly chart or even a monthly chart, they had a multi-month decline all the way from $16 all the way back down to $2.09. So that's a really huge decline. These are the kinds of declines that you don't want to be holding onto losing positions and then hoping that the market comes back, because you might have to hold these for many, many years. You could do yourself much, much better than doing that. So this is their first important bounce. That's one thing that I think is important, is it's the first bounce that they've had since this decline got underway. So other than that, I don't have anything else that I can throw at you on this right now. And I don't know if Robin's back or not, or what she's thinking of doing with this stock. But when she gets back,
she's still offline.
Okay.
This is a gaming stock, and the reason it's captured everyone's attention of late is because of, in part, because of the law that was changed in Nevada to allow online gaming, and Zynga is perfectly positioned to do something with this space, and so that's why she got interested in it. There was about 4 or 5 different stocks we looked at, and this is the one that she decided that she really liked. Zynga, they're also the creators of probably the single most popular online game in history, which was Farmville over on you can play it at the Zynga site, but most people play it on Facebook. And they had, what was their revenue last year? It was, yeah, let me pull it up. It was pretty extraordinary. Let's go have a look real quick. $5 billion? Let's see. Zynga revenues for 2012. This 2012. Let's see what it says. Zynga reports third quarter revenue of $317 million. Shares pop 15.1 in after hours on casino push. Now, this is back in October of 12. There was some $5 billion valuation somehow given to this company. And so, anyway, that's what it is, and that's what they do, and that's why it's of interest. I'll see if I can find that $5 billion. $5 billion valuation. What market do you want to go to? Let's go.
Well, we'll finish up in the S&P. So careful shorting it, except intraday. We're testing this 55 level in the June contract now rather than the March contract. I think you'd be wise to be on the long side of the market. We continue to try to affect our strategy until they show us that we're wrong. And that will be at some point we may have to take a loss in that particular trade or that particular stock or option. But it has been very good on the way up, And I think that the idea of picking a top, there will probably be good opportunities, obvious ones, for short selling. You may not be exactly at the top at the time, but you will at least know you've got something real rather than merely an idea. So, like we talked about before. So, okay, so let's take a quick look around.
The Zynga valuation, by the way, I pulled it up. It's $7
billion. Oh?
$7 billion. Milestone for social gaming. The virtual cash cow, the virtual cow is the new cash cow of Wall Street. It's because of their game, Farmville.
Okay.
People really like that game.
Yeah, they do like that game, don't they? All right, so let's see. Let's take a look at gold. For those of you, some of you may that are listening, maybe in our either in an institutional trial or getting our stuff one way or the other, and you know that we have been talking about gold and the importance of the March 11th bottom, which came one day early, and we're long gold. We're, I mean, not just we individually as a company, but through this, we have people that are long in the gold market, and you know all the details if you get the letter. But the idea is that we reached an important target on the upside when we hit the 95 level the other day. We do expect and normally would expect a reaction. We put that in the letter off of that, and we've had a decent reaction. We mentioned that 76 is very important to us today. They got down to 75.20. And they're well back above that now, trading up at nearly $90. So we think this is important, and it's a good early indication that we may see further advance. So what we're doing in this stock or in this commodity is we're just simply holding long positions, not only our own long positions for longer term, but for people who are long from the 11th. March 11th was the on-time day for a bottom. It came one trading day early on the 8th. That prompted us to get long, and we're still long. So we'll continue to hold this. There are some price targets that are on the upside that I can't go into right now, but you know, at least you know the long side, and we'll address things later as you know the market continues to firm up. But I like what I'm seeing in gold. I will throw out that we said in our letter that the date of March 14th was very important, and there's some reasons for that, and so today's action is helping build the case for that. And, you know, this is a day-by-day thing. You manage your position. You have your stops. We have our stops in, and they haven't been hit in today's decline, so we're going to continue to hold over the next, you know, into next week. So if there's no questions or anything on gold, we'll continue to trade this and we'll talk about it into next week or into tomorrow even, for that matter, because it's only Thursday today. So let's see. The U.S. bond market, don't have a lot to add except that we're now in the 1 month late for a bottom. March is 1 month late. February is the on-time month for a bottom. And inside that 1 month late, we talked about the March 8th bottom that got us long in a position in bonds. Those bonds in that position, we hit our initial target the other day, which we talked about, which was 141.25, which they got up to 141.29. And we did expect a reversal off that. We have reversed pretty well off of that today, a little further than we would have liked to have seen on the downside. But they're still closing well, and that we may have a new long entry that we're going to taken this for a further advance. So normally the market would be able to bounce further than just 125, you know, for 141.25 in the June contract. That's just an initial short-term get a lead in the position type of setup. So we'll continue to see how this plays out. But if they were to close today anywhere where they are now, that would be a very good close, all things considered, for the U.S. 30-year June Treasury bond market. And then let's see. You know, we haven't done anything with the euro, but we've talked about the importance to us about the price level of 129.60. That was tested pretty well to recently here. We've gotten down to 129.11. But We're not going to take any action on this until later in the month with regard to the euro and any new long potential long position or anything. Today has had a nice reversal, but we don't have any new indication that we're willing to take just yet. So we just sit aside and wait. There's plenty of other markets where an indication, you know, a better indication might exist and so on. Let's see here. Going past that, you know, we have our we won't go through the whole thing on crude, but the last important top on crude was due on March 13th, came one trading day early on the 12th, and we're going sideways here in the crude market. I think I mentioned yesterday that I wouldn't be surprised if they retested the high from a couple days ago. Not that, we're not really forecasting that, but just I wouldn't be surprised to see it.
93.47?
The high of... we're in... well, let's see. Are you looking at May or April?
I'm looking at J.
Okay. That is April. That's good. So that would be 93.47. That's correct. That we wouldn't be surprised to see that tested again. But either way, we expect further decline from this high. So... we like the idea of short positions here. You might want to wait for something to happen important or there's to touch some other important level and so on. But we think that the market normally, under normal conditions, we would see a reversal off of the top there that was made just a couple of days ago. So we like the short side of that. And this is really very important for us in crude because we're two-thirds of the way through this larger roadmap. And everything has happened as it was supposed to, as far as we think, and had laid out. And this bounce is part of that. And then this top would normally send the prices back down or into next week. So we'll see how that plays out. That's a very important point that we're at for us. Let's go over to the Australian dollar, because this is the one that we've been talking about that would go up. And we've given out the target on the program here that it would go up in the June contract up to, well, let's see, is 103.38 is the target, and today's high is 103.28. And we've been talking about the March bottom before on the program here, before they even got to it, that March would be an important bottom. We wanted to see them close above 101.70. March is not over yet, but they did firm up real nice on the 10 on that area, closing the week well. Anyway, so they rallied up. Our target was on the upside, which is a substantial distance from where we started from. It's I don't know exactly what they pay on this. I think it's $10 per tick, but at 10 cents from now, we'll be up 300 pips off the low. So you can see the value of some of the longer term stuff here, and in our institutional stuff. We had people going long if they had missed the entry at 102.28 or higher based on some factors. So they had a nice trade up, and I think we're going to see potentially higher prices than that. But when you get within 10 ticks of a 300 pip move, you know, it's probably a good idea to book something at that point if you hadn't already. So nothing really to add to this. It's just that this market had caught our attention because somebody had asked about it, and I think there's probably a lot of good trades that can be taken in this, the Aussie dollar. It's probably going to go higher than this, by the way, but that's our initial target, was about 300 pips. Okay, let's see. I don't think and our electric stock Tesla today is having a pretty good down day, if you want to take a look at that. They rallied back real good, and they're taking some of that back today. So keep an eye on if you happen to be trading this. You know, this stock, real quick, also has done some interesting things since its inception, way back in June of 2010. And the interesting thing is that it's remained above a lot of you know, natural price levels. It's remained in a very bullish position for many years. It started June of 2010, and I'm talking much longer term now. I'm not talking about, because it's had some very big swings. But in spite of those big swings, it still remains above some very important levels as it's swinging back and forth. So I still have I don't have a forecast, but I still have the belief that this company is going places and that their stock probably is worth having some, just based on that idea. You know, not necessarily buying a technical bottom or something like that, or you could wait for that, but that I think they're going to do more great things, and they're on fire, you know. So there you are. Let's see, and then a couple other little quick things we'll take a look at here, Duane. Let's go to, if you want to, we don't have to go over the dollar because that's kind of the opposite of the euro, and we've already addressed the euro here. We had our sell signal in soybeans a few days ago, and we certainly weren't forecasting a decline all the way to where we had here today. We had instructed people to get out yesterday, but the market has continued to decline, which for us means that we're going to be looking for new long positions probably into tomorrow or Monday for the May soybean market. So keep that in mind. I think there's some nice potential trading in that market coming up early next week. Cocoa topped out as we mentioned cocoa as a top the other day, and they've had a good couple day reversal. That might be something. We don't trade in cocoa ourselves, but we do give out some signals on it. But they've had a couple of good down days. This is just ordinary reflected wave stuff with this market. And let's see, there's one or two other markets I wanted to touch on, Duane.
Ready?
One of them is, I believe, was copper. And this is a market that not a lot of people trade in, but there's a lot of potential in copper. We happen to be, I believe, in our report long in copper, and they've been trading very well. They reached our initial target of $357 on the upside the other day. And we expected, in the report, we expected a reaction off that. We got that reaction, and they're still trading very well. So that could end up being a pretty powerful move in the end. We'll see. As it sits right now, we're just awaiting and holding in that position. The trade I'm most excited about, I think, is one of the ones that we've talked about many times on the program, which is natural gas, where in our institutional stuff, we had we really were looking for the market to bottom. Originally, the original call for this market was for the market to bottom down at or near $2.98 in the month of February. And 1 month early, it got down to about $3.05. It missed it just by a little bit, but more than I was comfortable with. And we weren't sure if the bottom had occurred 1 month early. And that's its own little set of conditions you have to work with. We're doing that with gold right now with our long position. Anyway, this market, the natural gas, gave us a really, really friendly, I might want to say it that way, signal way back on March 7th, which we took. So we have people that are long from March 7th, roughly, it depends on which contract, but we happen to be doing the April, the 357, 358 level. And today, they're up at 378, which is a substantial move in this market. And so I've mentioned it on the program, so I don't think it's going to bother anybody. I had forecast that we're going to move 100 points. It's a big move.
Wow.
In this market. Off of the January bottom, they're going to go up 100 points. And right now, they're real close to 100 points up. So we're hoping to see that get completed. In the meantime, this is another market that we've all talked about on the program, and I think it's a very tradable market. Check with your broker about margins. We can't address those. I don't think Duane can either. I think you really have to talk to a broker to get the real scoop on what the margins are, and we're not licensed to talk about that kind of thing. That's really broker's purview. But get all those margins, get a sheet on all that stuff so you know where you stand if you're going to be holding positions in a market like natural gas overnight. So there's no surprises, They don't call you up, "Well, we had to take you out," that kind of thing. And I think, Duane, that's everything we have. Robin, did you have something you want to throw in?
Well, Did you pull up the Zinger right when I got frozen out? I apologize. My connection here is not too stable. Did you pull it up?
Dwayne had more to say about it than I do. I don't have a lot to add yet. But Dwayne, do you want to?
And where is it right now?
Right now it's at $3.67. That's about a 20. Okay. I think probably a 20-minute delay on this chart. But that's where it's at. It's above on the daily chart. It's above the 200-day moving average.
That's good. Got a strong eye on this puppy.
Okay.
Yep.
Did you load the boat?
That's great. No, I mean I'm in at $3.30 though, so I got in a good spot.
Good. That's great. Yeah. Good stuff.
So I'm still cooking there, and I like the way it's going, and keep watching the news. And I saw the news the other day. That other day when I talked about it, they had news out that Yahoo was considering buying it. So that's why it jumped that day. And I thought it was from the announcement of Nevada going into the online gaming, but it was really from Yahoo indicating that they might want to buy it.
Yahoo should buy Zynga. Well, they're valued. They had a $7 billion valuation at one point, but that has come off some, I think. This Marissa Meyer, she's really on a tear.
She sure is.
Yahoo won't buy Zynga.
Here we go.
Well, that's one of the guys over at The Fool. This is just an editorial piece.
Yeah.
Shares of Zynga popped as much as 11% Monday after Wunderlich Securities analyst Blake Harper suggested it might make sense for Yahoo to acquire the social game maker. To be sure, the rumor mill's been buzzing. Unfortunately for the Zynga bulls, I don't see a buyout. Less than stellar management, worst CEO of the year, painful past transgressions. So it was just a rumor, I guess, started by Wunderlich Securities. Now, this is dated March 13th, so that was just, yesterday? It was yesterday that this guy wrote his editorial piece. I'm not sure which day the... What day did it pop you were talking about? It popped up on... here. So today's Thursday, Wednesday, Tuesday. Monday's the day that it gapped and ran up to $4. Okay. All right. And then when it was found out to be a rumor the following day, that's probably what created this little bearish pattern here. But kind of holding its own here at 360. A couple days in this range. Okay, anything else, Robin, you want to look at? Or did you get knocked off again? Yep.
I think she's, Joanne, I think she's probably
gone again.
So.
Yep.
No, I think that's pretty much the run of it for us today. There are some stocks and things that we may talk about tomorrow that we're looking at, some new stocks that might be interesting for some of the listeners. I don't know if there's many people that are really trading stocks in our group out there, but... We've brought in a new group of them. Some of them are in very strong positions, and I think many people would be uncomfortable buying them at these levels, but some of them, I believe, have quite a bit of ways to go. So stocks that we don't normally talk about, things like Joy Capital, Mosaic Company, Energizer Holdings, Home Depot, that's something. But there's quite a number of them that we might want to go over.
Okay. Sounds
if people
good.
Have an interest, it's all according to their interest, So.
Ed, we covered the natural gas.
Yeah, they've come within, I think, 18 points of completing 100 points, which is what we were looking for, and I think they're still going higher. So we have people that are in it, and we're going to try to trade it all the way to the numbers. This one didn't take that long to put it all together. I don't know if they raised margins while the thing was running. That happens a lot. When the thing gets big and the move that you're looking for happens, you want to make sure that if they raise margins, you can be in the move. that'd be helpful. So just make sure you have enough in your account to cover all that margin-wise. And you can call Bert Schlichter. And for those of you, we'll give his number out, 866 928-3310, and he's available to talk with you about any subject you'd like regarding trading. And you don't necessarily have to have an account with Bert to, you know, get information from him and talk to him. But you might want to consider doing that because he knows, I know he works with all of us here and knows how to put these trades on. And from speaking for myself, PageTrader, we don't have any other association with brokers right now. He's the only guy. So, and that tells you that we think highly of him. So, we do. So, hopefully you'll take a look at him as well.
When it comes to futures and options and currency futures or even Forex, you cannot do any better than Bert and Leslie. They don't handle equities at the moment, but anything in the world of futures, these guys really know their business, and they really work hard not only to earn your business, but to keep your business. They're in the office crazy hours. They come early. They stay late. And when you call that toll-free number that David gave you, 866-928-3310, you don't get a phone room in a third world country. You don't get some new trainee that was just snatched in off the street. You get a market veteran. They answer the phone. They're happy. They're chipper. They're in a good mood. I don't know how they do it day in and day out, but they do. And, man, they're so good at what they do. You really should give them an opportunity to show you what they can do. 866-928-3310. Give them a call. Nobody's going to hard sell
you. Yeah, well said.
They'll just answer your questions and maybe open your mind to some new ideas and some new opportunities that you aren't even aware exist. So.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
well,
David, you're going to run.
Well, Dwayne,
Robin,
yeah,
you're not there.
Thanks for having me on the show.
Okay, Dennis, I'll answer your question in just a second. All right, David, that's it. I guess I'll see
you very much.
Tomorrow.
See you guys tomorrow. Have a wonderful afternoon. Stay out of the heat, Dwayne. Try
all right,
to.
Buddy. Take care.
Okay, I'll see you.
I didn't notice what time it was.
All right, guys, that's going to wrap it for us. But, Dennis, I will take your question here. Will this work for me? I have a small account. And you ask if this is a ninja platform. No, this platform is DT Pro. And our indicator set, the CFRN indicator set, was coded specifically to work with DT Pro. There's no other platform or brokerage firm that we recommend. We only work with Daniel's Trading and the DT Pro platform for many reasons, much of which I just explained in regards to Bert and Leslie, but also in regards to the platform itself. It's solid, the data is solid, and it just works. And when you need help, it's there. A phone call away, somebody that actually knows what they're talking about, what's going on, and they really can help you. And Bert even comes. He spends time in the live trading room with us. If you're one of his clients, you know the value of what it's like to have your broker sitting in the trading room with you, helping you find opportunities. Now, in regards to the small account and our methodology, let me just say this, because I can't say, you know, Bert is really someone who can better talk to you about your account size and what type of trades you should be making. But I will say this. The trades that we take in the live trading room every day from 9:30 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. Monday through Friday, we never risk more than 8 ticks on any trade, whether it's an S&P 500 trade or a gold trade or a crude trade or the Russell, whatever market, 8 ticks. So in the S&P 500, 8 ticks is equivalent to 2 points. 2 points in one contract. Okay, 1 point per contract in the S&P pays $500, or costs $500, depending upon which side of the trade you're on. So 2 points is $100. So that's kind of our benchmark. Everything we do is based on earning $100 a day per contract. That's it. 2 points a day, or 8 ticks. And so in some of the markets, 8 ticks won't be exactly $100. But that's what we never risk more than 8 ticks in any given market, whether it's crude, whether it's gold, the Russell, the NASDAQ. So based on that, and based upon your account size, call and talk to Bert. Because Bert's in the trading room. He knows what goes on. He knows how these trades work. He can tell you if this is right. He can give you his opinion as to whether or not this would be right for you. But the best thing for you to do, Dennis, is to take the free trial. Okay, go to cfrn.net/apply. Sign up for the free trial. It's 5 days in the live trading room, plus you get to download the platform and the indicators. You get to use them. We teach you how to use the indicators on this platform for 5 days. No charge, no credit card required. You come for 5 days, we treat you just like you're a partner. The only thing you don't get on the free trial, you don't get to come to the partners meeting on Thursday night. You don't get to go into the video library in the members area of the website, but you get everything else, okay? You get our undivided attention. You have access via email, telephone, all of that. So that's really the best starting point. Take the free trial. Watch us for a couple days. Get the platform downloaded. Bert will help you with that, or Leslie. Again, their number, toll-free, 866-928-3310. And their phone number, it's on the homepage at our website, cfrn.net. So go there, give them a call. Again, they're not going to hard sell you anything. They'll just answer your questions, tell you what they can do, how they operate, how it works, account minimums, all that stuff. Okay, that's their job, and they do it oh so well. All right. The S&P 500 is hanging out at 1554 right now. We've had a high on the day of 5675. Our next weekly trading zone overhead is 5960. We spent a bit of time this week trading in between. We had 9 back and forth trades zone to zone. I think it was nine. You have to go to a smaller time frame to see some of them, because like right here in this hourly candle, if you break that down, there's actually 2 trades in there. In fact, let's go do that real quick. Let me get this off the screen. ESM3. You know, that's not going to have the zones on it. ESM3. We go to an hourly chart for starters. Something happened to this chart. Maybe I lost my... No, it says I'm connected. Now, let's go back. All right, well, we got this chart. All right, well, why don't we just work with this chart? See what happens if I knock this down to a 5-minute. Okay. Let's go way back over here. Can I sign up for a free trial? Yes, you can. And I'm going to type in the address for you. There you go. Okay. Now let's go find... Gosh, I'm going to have to... You know what? I'm going to have to go back to the hourly for a moment. Stand by. Okay, it was in this hour here on Tuesday. So we're looking for March 12th at 10 a.m. Okay. way too far. Okay, here's March 12th. All right. Let's go to 10 a.m. Oh, boy, that took a while. Okay, so right here, price went from zone to zone, back up to the zone. Okay? We missed it on the way back up by one tick. Okay? So now these are 5-minute candles. So 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50, 55, 60. See, though there's enough five, there's 12 5-minute candles there, it equals exactly 1 hour. So you can see it went from zone to zone back to the zone. However, when you look at it on an hourly chart, you really can only see the move down. You aren't able to see that move all the way back up that's inside of it. And then we opened for this candle and made the run back down. So there's a total of 8 or 9. I know there's 8. There might. I think I counted last night and there was 9. 9 trips back and forth. But which it will go with 8. So there was 8 trips back and forth between these two zones. Now once we break out to the upside, as we've done here, price should go up to the next zone at 59.60. If it doesn't have enough bullish momentum, maybe it doesn't make it on this run, maybe it comes back, maybe it tests this, because you see over here, what we had was we had the market, the top of this range was the 48.49 zone. It kept running into resistance, 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 resistance. Finally broke out. Once it broke out, resistance then becomes support. See how it broke out, came back, support right there to the tick. And then it took off. Now, it had quite a bit of ground to cover, 10 points. Not a lot, but it's fairly sizable. Considering that the zone below, there was only 5 points distance. So we've got twice as much distance to cover here. So when it broke loose, so far, it's not had enough bullish momentum to push it up to 59.60. I think we had some pretty fair jobs numbers this morning. I'll go look and see what news there is tomorrow. I don't think that there's some CPI stuff. So price could very well come back down. We might test this 48.49 area, get a sure footing, and then launch another run at the 59.60. Now, if price comes back to 48.49 and it doesn't find support and it starts to close hourly below 48 and more importantly below 46.75, now that's a whole different story. It's a huge tell. The market has run out of steam. Now everybody keeps wondering, you know, hey, this has been nice, but it can't last forever. When's it going to be over? Now, this is on a daily chart perspective, okay? Daily. But going back down to hourly, our first indication that potentially this thing is running out of steam would be for price to get back below 1546.75. If it takes out 46.75, then what do we expect? Okay, if price gets below 46.75, we would then expect 42.43 to act as support as it has done for the last few days. Okay. Look at all these hours here. That 42.43 held as support. Then it ran up, tried to break out to the upside. Got back into this little range that we enjoyed for 2 days, 9 round trips through here. Each one, 5 points. So, well, let's go with 8. So that's 40 points, round trip, back and forth. Now this break to the upside. If we wanted to pull fibs on this little move here, we could. We would use this as the bottom of this leg. And we just go there and go there. And we can see that a 38% retracement would be right around 51. A 50% retracement would be right at 49. 62% retracement would be right at 48. Okay, now, so if, now remember, I always teach you that fibs are not a standalone trading tool. I know that many of you have spent a lot of time, money, energy, hopes, and dreams on fibs. And fibs are a great tool. Don't get me wrong. I don't want you to feel bad about any money or time you spent learning it, because I spent money and time learning it, okay? And I gained a valuable education. But I finally came to the realization that as a standalone entity, it was not enough. I needed something else. But I could still use that knowledge to fall back on as far as a confirmation kind of a tool. So I just told you that based upon the weekly trading zones and based upon the fact that 48.49 has been resistance for several days, okay, then it broke out and suddenly became support right here, we would naturally expect that if price does trade all the way back down here to the zone, that this zone would hold as support. If it doesn't, we'll trade it accordingly, but we're going to anticipate that it will. Does that mean you buy this area blindly? You can, but you don't have to. See, that's the thing. Sometimes people go, well, I'm just going to, well, you can put an order there if you want, or you can wait for price to come down here, and then you can wait for it to give you some evidence that it's actually going to climb back up and do what we would expect it to do, and that's to try to get to this zone. See, price is going to try to get to this zone here because it's already done business here at 48.49. So there's only two options. It either needs to go to 59.60 or it needs to go to 42.43. One or the other, okay? All you have to do is just watch the market and whatever it's doing, say, well, that's what I want to do. Market's climbing. I want to do that. I want to be long. Don't fight the market. Don't fight the flow. Now, there's no, we can't say with certainty that we're going to pull back to this area, but if we do come back to the weekly zone, it just so happens that this zone sits right in the middle of a 50 to 62% retracement. Now, that's what I mean about using it as a confirmation tool. We already know a weekly zone should serve as support or resistance, depending upon where price is in relation to the zone. But the fact that it lines up with a couple fibs there gives me even more reason to be anxious to get into a long trade if price does come back here. However, I don't want to jump the gun. Let price come back. Okay. It pulled back to the zone. It pulled back to this Fibonacci retracement. But since my upside target from 49 to 59, I've got 10 points to run here. I've got 7 points to run to the previous swing high. I don't have to buy it right at this number. I can let it show me, you know, what it's going to do. I can drop down to the 4-tick range chart that we use in the live trading room. And once this has been tested and price shows that it's, that we've got support in place and the market starts to try to go higher, I pull out that 4-tick range chart and get myself a setup defined to the tick for an entry. Now, here's the thing. In the live trading room, we typically look for 8 ticks on a trade. On some of the trades, like with the gold, Michael doesn't put a target out there. He has a hard stop of 8 ticks, but he's willing to let price run on gold, I think on the yen, maybe on the euro. On the S&P, we tend to have more of a hard target there at 8 ticks. But you're using the 4-tick range chart to get into this trade. If price comes back, tests the zone, finds support at a fib level, starts to climb, go to the 4-tick range, you get an entry, you only risk 8 ticks. However, you've got 7 10 points of travel. So at 7 points, that would be 28 ticks. So here's a situation where you're risking 8 for a shot at 28. Now, you're probably on the 4-tick range. You may not get in exactly here. It might be a little further up as the market's showing you it wants to climb. So maybe you don't get in until 51. Well, the first place you should find resistance is at this swing high. So from 51 to 57, that's 6 points. 4 ticks per point, that's 24 ticks. So you're risking 8 to make 24. That's a 1 to 3. The guys that write the books will love you, because they'll tell you, you always want to go find those trade setups where you can, you know, for every unit that you risk, your potential reward is 3. In stocks, it's easier to do than in futures. Finding that 1 to 3 risk reward in futures is difficult. Just going to be honest with you. Sometimes you got to settle for 1 for 1. But I want to say this, never, ever, ever settle for less than 1 to 1. I know people that do that. And it can go really well for you for a while, but once it starts to go bad, it can go bad quickly, and it can be painful, and I'm just suggesting that you don't ever do that. What do I mean by that? In other words, don't risk 2 points to make 2 ticks. If you get into a situation where you're kind of, you know, the dynamics of the trade changes, you're backed into a corner, and it becomes a move of survival, okay? You know, in other words, I originally got into this thing looking to make 2 points. But now the market started to come back on me. I could actually get out and salvage this thing with plus 2 ticks and just look for the next setup. Okay. Remember, you didn't set out to only make 2 ticks. You weren't risking 2 points to make 2 ticks. It's just how the trade developed once you're in it. And so being able to manage the trade once you're in it, that's critical. And that comes with time and experience. You can read about it, you can watch other people do it, but ultimately you have to roll up your sleeves and do it yourself. Download the platform, install the indicators, get into the simulator, start making trades. Different markets, doesn't matter. Crude, gold, euro, yen, S&P, Dow. Put on and take off trades, because it's the same setup on every one of those markets. The same setup, same time frame, 4-tick range. If you're not familiar with range charts, Michael can explain it to you. Bert can explain it to you. You can Google it. It simply means that every candle on your chart is exactly 4 ticks in height. Don't confuse that with a 4-tick chart, which would be so fast no one could trade it. This is a 4-tick range chart. Every single candle. People go, well, what benefit is that? Well, if this candle opens here and starts to go higher, I know before this candle closes, if this is going to be a bull candle, I know exactly what price it's going to close at, and I know exactly what price the next candle is going to open at, and so I can be prepared with my Dom. If I'm looking for an up close, you hear that terminology a lot when Michael's doing the recap. Or if you're a partner, you hear it every day. Okay. I can tell where my up close is going to be. See, the low of this candle is 92.82. So if this thing continues higher, I know that it's going to close at 92.86. Okay, where's 92.86? Right there. Again, the low of this candle is 92.82. So if I want to get in on a close, if I wanted to jump into this thing at 92.86, right there it is, so I'm in at 92.87. Okay. See, I knew where that was going to close. With other types of candles, not that there's anything wrong with the candles, don't get me wrong, this is just one method of trading. All right. On an hourly chart, you don't know where it's going to close price-wise. You know time-wise, but not price-wise. What this does, it allows you to know where that candle is going to close price-wise. Okay. So if we can get a close above this MA1 right here, see we had bullish divergence, bullish cross, pull back to the BBC, okay? pulled away, pulled back, got a close above the trend line, and we're in the trade. We still have bullish divergence here. Now we'll look for this green line to work its way up into the cycle, the blue line. Now you'll notice that using a bracket order, my stop loss was automatically placed for me. All I had to do was get long at 92.87. The bracket order, the DOM placed on my behalf, because I have it set up down here. Down here, you tell it what you want to risk. I'm risking 8 ticks to make 16 on this trade. Okay. And that's all programmed in. I don't have to worry about it. So my stop loss is at 92.79. My target is up here. Looks like just above the high of the day at 93.03. So as price starts to move up, I might want to consider, you know, I don't necessarily have to take out the high of the day here. I could drag my target back a little bit to give myself some cushion. Because if I'm going to wait for it to break out to a new high on the day, then I probably want to push my target out even farther. You understand what I'm saying? This high of the day, that's resistance for a reason, okay? And it may break out of there, and it may run, and it may not. So this is a choice you get to make. Your target, you can always increase your target or decrease your target based upon the individual trade setup. You can reduce your stop loss by moving it up as the trade goes in your favor. The one thing you never do once you enter a trade is you never increase your stop loss. That decision is made before you place the trade. I'm going to risk 8 ticks. That's it. Okay? Now, that's one of the reasons you want to use a bracket, because there's no emotions involved. Well, you know, I kind of got a mental stop down around wherever. No good. Don't do it. Okay, I see some of you guys are putting comments into the chat room over here, the website chat room. I can't get to you right now, but I'll be happy. If you'll stay put, I will either get to you in just a second, or I will transfer you over to Michael if he's available. So, let's just watch this trade and see what happens. We stumbled into this. I just happened to bring up a crude when I went to the 4-tick range to show you what a 4-tick candle looked like. The setup was there. Okay, I didn't have to wait for the setup. It was there, and we took action. Now, how are we able to take action so quickly? Well, because we already know what this setup looks like. That's the beauty of the setup that Michael teaches you over and over and over again. You look at a chart, boom, you know if it's there or not. You don't got to get out your slide rule or your protractor or your pocket protector or anything else. It's just, it's either there or it's not. And it just so happened that when we opened this chart, it was there. And so far, we're not able to get, well, we got a swing high up here so far of, what, 92, 91? Okay. So, where did that go? Okay. So, 90, the swing high so far, what did I say it was? Let me make that thing stick, stay on top. Okay, now it's pulling back on us. Okay, it's pulling back to the BBC. We may get stopped out. That's okay. Just another trade. But you'll notice I'm not going to move this stop. I'm not going to scratch out at this point. I'm going to give the trade an opportunity to do what it's going to do. See the swing high. Now look left. This is really good teaching moment here. Look at this trade took off, man, and it looked like it was going to town, okay? But what happened? It ran into the previous swing high, and it couldn't get out, and we just got stopped out. Okay? We just got stopped out. And that's the truth about trading, okay? Now what do? You look for the next setup. That's it. That's all you do. You don't think about it. You don't pound your head. You don't get drywall dust in your hair. You don't freak out. You don't go hunt for another indicator or another whatever. Because if you do, you'll get caught in this endless loop of chasing and chasing and chasing. Gotta stand your ground. Sit still. Be patient. The edge has been defined for you. All you have to do is learn the edge, learn to trade the edge, and let the trades come to you. And then you have to apply the edge when the opportunity presents itself. I insist that all of the partners read Trading in the Zone by Mark Douglas, and I've been suggesting it to you on this radio program for a very long time. Let me suggest it again. If you've not read that book, you really need to read that book. It will demystify a lot of things about trading, and it will help you to look at the markets and trading in a very calculated manner, okay? Very just a calculated manner of, hey, it's not what I thought it was, but now that I know what it actually is, I might be able to make this thing work for me. See, for many people, the reason you aren't able to make this thing work for you because you have a misconstrued conception of what trading really is and how it really works. Until you clearly understand it for what it is and how it works, the chance of you having any long-term success, it's sketchy at best. Okay? Read that book. I promise you, you know, it's not going to make you a super trader. There's no indicators or graphs or charts in that book. You know, reading the book's not going to make you an overnight sensation. But it is going to change the way you think to the degree that you will have an opportunity to become successful if you continue to work at it and apply yourself. There's no overnight sensations here. It's hard work. Back to this. If we pull back into this zone where we had this fib level, okay, take that four tick range and look for a trade to get long. Worst case is you get stopped out for eight ticks. If you take a long trade trying to get back up to this swing high or this here, now you saw how critical that swing high was on that four tick range chart. See this? Price, I mean, like a champ, it started to run, but it hit that resistance area. Slapped it right back down. Now look at what it's going to do. It's going to try it again. It's going to make a run at that thing again. Okay? Will it get slapped down again? We'll wait and see. This time around, we don't have a trade set up. Not at the moment, because we just got a bearish cross. So we need to get... this thing's got some work to do before it's going to set up for another long trade. Based on the slingshot setup. See, we're right back to that area. The market couldn't get past it on the first go. See if it can get through it this time. Looking left is one of the most valuable things you'll ever learn about trading. That's a freebie. Okay, let me go over to this chat box and see what kind of questions are in here. Okay, Dieter, I see your question. I am a new partner and I'm trying to view Workshop 93. Tell me what's wrong. Well, you already left. I can't help you. You left. Okay, Bob, let's see what your question is. I know you're busy doing other things. I'll follow up later. I'd like to take the trial. Okay, I will send you an email, Bob. All right, let's see who else is. Is anybody else in here with an active question that maybe I'm not seeing because of the huge scroll here? Oh, Dieter, there you are again. Okay. So, Dieter, tell me what the problem is. You're trying to watch Workshop 93. What's happening? You just left again. Yes. Yeah, I'm trying to do 9 things at one time, guys. I'm here by myself. Okay, Alan asked, question, with the short setup, price goes to the BBC and through the BBC as I'm waiting for a down close. Black line moves above the BBC. Does this disqualify the short entry? It does, Alan. Yeah. And tonight in the partners meeting, ask Michael. Now look what happened. Look at this crude. See what happened? Okay, the trade we were in got stalled out, looked left, ran into resistance. It pulled back enough to stop us out. And then with renewed vim and vigor, boom. This was the trade we wanted to be in. We got stopped out. Okay, now, see, you could start questioning, oh man, I got to get a different strategy. I need a new indicator. I need a new guru. I need a new chat room. Oh man, because I got this and I should have had that. Friend, that is a long journey around that mountain. It could take you years to figure out what you're chasing doesn't even exist. See, that's what would be, you know, I would encourage you to go on that journey if it existed. Thing is, might take you 2 months, 2 years, or longer to figure out that you're chasing a shadow. It doesn't exist. You've got to take what you have, whatever that is, or something that has a definable edge, and that's the most anything can ever offer you is a definable edge. I don't care what anybody tells you. The most any methodology or indicator set can ever offer you is some kind of definable edge. You look at it, you trade it for a week. Oh, that's right, most people won't let you trade it for a week. Okay, well, we will. You can trade what we got for a week, and you can decide, hey, is this enough of an edge for me? Because that's all you need. You need a small definable edge, and then you need to have the right mindset to apply it over and over and over. That's why you need to read the book and take the free trial. Look at this crude, man. It really got running. Oh, we'd have just felt like heroes, wouldn't we? Huh? Or we can be all bummed out because we got stopped out. See, you know, and you can have some negative self-talk right now. Man, that always happens to me. Please don't do that. Please don't reinforce that negativity with stinking thinking. It will do you no good. Okay? You should just look at this and go, wow, man, I can't wait for the next setup because that might be me. And guess what? If that's me, remember if I'd have pushed my target out, I said I could. If we had not got stopped out and if I had pushed my target out, not only would I have gotten back whatever I got stopped out for, made it back. Right? And now, you know, I got my stop loss pushed way up here right behind this thing. It comes back, takes me out right there. I'm good with that. Not a problem. So, you got to learn to think in probabilities. And reading that book will really help you to learn to think. Okay, back to you in the chat room here. Dieter, I'm a new partner, blah, blah, blah. When I scroll down, number 93 is gray only with no hyperlink to watch video. Well, I'll go look at it. Okay. All right, guys, I'm done. Let me go back to the radio chat room here. I was on the website chat for a moment. See if anybody else in here has a question. You can give him my answer you like if an individual is willing to put in the... Okay, now this goes back to... I'm not sure, Frank, who you're responding to. You can give him my answer if you like. If an individual is willing to put in the time and effort and practice, and screen time to learn it, it'll definitely work. If a person is unwilling to do that, then it's a different story. Absolutely. Okay, Alan, I covered your prize. Jack says, I'm finally beginning to understand. Great. I'm really glad to hear that. I sure am, Jack. Francis, you know what? Dennis, is this a Christian group? Well, Dennis, the name of our radio station is the Christian Financial Radio Network. Why do you ask, my friend? Because I really want to answer your question. Francis, I did not watch that video, and you know what? I put it in the chat box for everybody else to watch. And then with the whole Pope thing, and I didn't. If you'll email me, Francis, that video link, I promise you I will watch it. You meant the broker, Dennis? Why? Well, yes. Since you asked, he is a man of faith. And so is Leslie. And that's why we do business with them. It's one of the reasons. We are a community of believers who trade for a living. We're unique. We exist in a special space. And, you know, we don't use God to make money. You know, I hear that all the time from people. You know, what does God have to do with trading? You know, go out to the blog. I wrote an entire article about that. We're people of faith. We believe that. And you know, just go to the blog post and read it. Maybe I'll recap it tonight. Let me see. I might have it right here. Hang on. Let me go to Seeking. It's out on Seeking. It's actually an article on Seeking Alpha, I think. Let me go see if I can find it. Hang on a minute. Let this thing load. But that's a fair question, and I want to address it. Okay. Okay, the title of the article, for anybody that might want to go read it, it's called God Chasers and E-Mini Traders. I often get questions about why we label ourselves a community of believers who trade for a living. The question ultimately leads to, what does that have to do with trading? Why do you need to drag God into it? And I love that question. I really do. I personally like to work with like-minded people. As a younger man, I was forced to work in places where quite often the corporate culture was fairly disgusting. From foul mouths to heavy drinking, drugs, casual sex, and the oft-required after-work happy hour, it was bad. In the interest of full disclosure, I should probably mention in many cases I was the boss. As I grew older and came to my senses, I realized I wanted to live my life in a different way. I also realized that to live that different life, I would need to surround myself with different people. The last business I built before CFRN, my wife and I decided that we wanted a clean, wholesome family environment. We never discriminated against anyone because they weren't willing to thump their Bible or wear a WWJD t-shirt. However, when the non-believers saw 50 of us gather together each morning to hold hands and pray, they either opened their mind to the possibilities or, in some cases, they eventually chose to move on. And on the rare occasion, they didn't just move on, they ran. So that's why we call ourselves a community of believers who trade for a living. Not to alienate anyone. In fact, quite the opposite. Our doors are open to everyone. We'll never attempt to force religion of any brand on you. But coming through the door, you'll understand immediately who we are, what we stand for, and that we've made a conscious decision to build a corporate climate that reflects our beliefs and values. It really is that simple. There's no hidden agenda, no Kool-Aid, and no Vestal virgins waiting in heaven as a signing bonus. Becoming a partner is about more than becoming becoming a partner, a CFRN partner, is about more than buying indicators. It's about more than learning how to trade. It's about being part of a family where we all speak a common language, share a common bond, and have similar hopes, dreams, and aspirations. A place where we can be encouraged as we encourage one another. Just tonight, I received a missive from a brand new partner coming on board. He penned an email straight from my own heart. And then I include an excerpt of his email. And I won't, you know, it's on the, if you want to read it, it's on the blog. And so after I post the excerpt from his email, that is the heartbeat of CFRN. I could choose to work with a hotshot hedge fund manager who thinks everybody's first name is Mother, has a fifth of Jack in his bottom drawer, and spends half the day snorting lines off his desktop. Or I can work with the guy who sent me that email that touched me so much that I put it in my blog post. For me, the choice is simple. One of the greatest blessings in my life today, beyond my wife, children, and family, are the people I'm privileged to work with day in and day out. Life's good. To all of you who are a part of it, thank you. All right. Well, there you go. So, I hadn't read that in a while. I'll put the link for anybody that's interested in reading it. I'll put the link out for you. There you go. It's in the chat room, guys. All right, let me see if while I was waxing eloquent there, see if I missed anything. Okay, Francis, you're going to email me that video. I promise I'm going to watch it. Okay, guys, last reminder tonight. Did I miss anything else? Question? Okay, I covered your question, Alan. I think I got everything. Okay. Partners meeting tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern. Partners, you already know the drill. If you're a new partner, you're going to get an email this afternoon with the link to the workshop. If you don't get your email by 6 p.m. Eastern, send an email to support@cfrn.net. This afternoon, I'll be endeavoring to make sure all the new people get added to the list. But inevitably, I usually miss one person at least. If you're that person, don't feel left out. Just know I was busy and I tried. Send me if by 6 p.m. Eastern, if you do not have your invitation to the workshop and you are a partner, send an email to support@cfrn.net. That gives me a 3-hour heads up to go make sure you get your invitation. Okay, and if you get that invitation tonight, that means that you're in the loop, and when the email comes out next Monday morning before the markets open with the weekly trading zones and the link to the live trading room, you'll know you're in that loop and you'll know you're going to get that email. Now, because this email is sent out by a robot, sometimes your email provider will play hide and seek with automated emails. It might stick it in your bulk folder or your promotions folder. It might even put it in your spam folder. But because our emails have a very low spam, there's a number they assign, and we're like, you know, 0.0 something. It shouldn't go to your spam. It should go to your bulk folder or your promotions folder, or your email carrier may have some other label for it. But here's what you do. When you go in there tonight and you find it wherever it is, there should be a place where you can whitelist that address. In other words, you click and say, no, this isn't bulk, or this isn't a promotion, or I want this to go straight to my inbox from now on. And so your email client will remember that. And then every time something comes from that email address, it'll go straight to your inbox so you see it. You don't have to go hunting around digging for it. Okay. Alan, you sent me a video email a few weeks ago that probably went to your spam. Can you send it to me again, and I'll be happy to take a look at it? Hi, Cameron. You know, you got here just as we're wrapping things up, from 12 noon to 2 p.m. Now, Cameron, I think you're on the free trial. That's from 9:30 to 11:30 a.m. Eastern, Monday through Friday. And then the radio broadcast is from 12 noon to 2 p.m. Eastern, Monday through Friday. So we're just wrapping up, but I'm glad you popped in. At least you know how to get in here, and hopefully you'll be able to come back and join us again tomorrow. Okay? I don't see any other questions. So with that, remember, we're expecting price to either go to $59.60 or $48.49. We expect $48.49 to be good support if we get there, and we expect that to be a good entry spot for the run to $59.60. If we don't come back to $48.49, that means we're going to $59.60, and that this little hour here was just a pullback. How do you know? Well, on an hourly chart, you could draw a little trend line across the top of those two hourly candles. And then once this candle or the next candle closes above that trend line, you could then go to your four-tick range chart and find a trade setup. Okay? This is how we do it. All right? Day after day, day in and day out. Maybe it gets boring. If you're looking for excitement and an adrenaline rush, go jump out of an airplane. The markets are not where you want to get that rush, okay? You want it to be plain Jane vanilla. No chocolate syrup, no sprinkles, vanilla, plain, the same. If it doesn't look the same, leave it alone. Wait until it looks the same and then do it. Do what you've learned how to do, okay? Don't be greedy. Get it and go, all right? All right, that's it. I'm done. Thanks so much for tuning in, guys. Whoever you are, wherever you are, may God continue to richly bless you with His mercy and with His grace. And I'll see you at the bell.
Remember this. There is no greater return on investment than to see a human life changed and given hope. As always, pray hard and trade safe. Any financial information discussed on this show is simply the opinion of our host, Dwayne Reeves, his co-hosts, and guests. To learn more about trading e-mini futures or to take a one-week free trial in our live trading room, call 1-866-928-3310. 866-928-3310. Information discussed on this radio program should not be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell any security. Always do your own due diligence and consult with a licensed securities broker or financial planner before making any investment decision.